And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. What a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas room already. Of course, tonight I am joined by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, where have all the good times gone?
That's the question.
I think the Biden administration is asking itself that question. Well, we had that big blowout of a debate last night, and I had kind of predicted the way that things were going to go, but I don't think anyone knew just the amount of dementia and freezing up and collapse that Biden was going to go into during the course of that. And we're going to get into that tonight and its significance, because in the follow-up to that, these Democrats who were looking at Biden and thinking he couldn't make it through, and who had this backup plan, which is already in effect now, you know, they're playing this out like, oh, you know, the Democrats are in a panic. They need to put somebody in there. No, this plan is already in effect. It's already been happening. And
contingency plans.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into that tonight in particular. We're going to do about a 90-minute special update here with this special report. We're getting into COG, the Continuity of Government Emergency Powers, and the crisis, 1963, the assassination of President Kennedy, 2024, the replacement of Biden mixed in with the deflecting of Donald Trump taking the election, as he, in the course of things, naturally would, through a legal subterfuge or other deep state means. This is a very, very tricky time in history, especially with wars looming and things of this nature. Up, of course, tonight, we're going to be taking your questions in the second half of the program, and Miss Olivia will be putting those together. And so we'll do about 45 minutes on the presentation and then 45 minutes of your question. Mm-hmm. And we're out tonight. It's great to see so many of you out there. And we had a great reaction to last week's show on doppelgangers and Rudolf Steiner's concept of the doppelganger. We went kind of very wide, 360 on that one. And there's more to come, because along that kind of cosmological, esoteric side, we're doing an episode in July on the Dweller and the Threshold, and this whole concept that originally came out with Bulwer Lytton's books. So thanks for the support on the last episode. And so later in July, you're going to get a big follow-up on that, because you can't even, you know, you couldn't take 5 hours with a concept like that. Mm-hmm. It requires a deep lecture for you. On that one, tonight's show is pivotal, and the timing is pivotal, and the debate last night was pivotal, because there you had, for the first time since everything went down between Biden and Trump, and they installed Biden, and Trump was doing all these things in the background trying to curtail the COG powers before he left office. This is a very significant period, a very active period for President Trump, which was the exit period from November to January, and then all the things that they pulled, and how we got January 6th and all that kind of stuff with the FBI participating in this. It's interesting, because actually the Supreme Court found that many of the charges that they used to put these J6 protesters in prison don't hold up, you know, obstruction and all these kinds of things. So they're throwing them out en masse. And what's interesting is, right in the middle of that, rolled up like a burrito, are the Jack Smith charges against President Trump. So Jack Smith's case now heavily, heavily weakened on that side. He still has the classified docs case, which looks pretty weak. And Judge Cannon seems to be a reasonable judge, and she's been swatting so many of the phony Jack Smith charges away. This is all legal warfare in order to prevent the leading candidate for president to be installed, because they want the control not only over the media, not only over the political situation, the economic powers, but over the elections, and they don't think that your voice counts. That's the nature of the problem that we're facing, and we're going to get into that tonight. Before we go any further, I want to remind you, especially if you're new here, to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our newsletter. That's a free newsletter, and it keeps us in touch. We've been experiencing widespread censorship across the board on every social media network. And I try not to spend too much time on that, because we have important issues to get to, but it's pretty heavy duty. The best way for us to get around it is for you guys to be on that newsletter list. about once a week, you get these important updates on crucial shows and the timing of these shows, X series episodes, mind blowing interviews, the documentaries that we're doing right now, Steganography Cinema, absolutely mind blowing, Hacking Atlantis, The Craze and The Hot Zone. This one just came out and it's going to be actually available, the full thing, on Amazon and Hulu by about the second week of July. So we'll give you updates on that as well, and live events coming up in the fall. So these are all things rolled right in there at darkjournalist.com. Make sure you're on that newsletter list. Stand up and be counted. And, you know, it literally takes a few seconds to sign up. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia, how are we doing out there?
Doing good. Contiki Man says, was the recovery speech Biden from today the same as the debate Biden, or was that a doppelganger clone?
Well, we have to explain the collapse during the debate to get into the recovery speech today. But the guy that they sent out was just more drugged up. And, you know, Biden, they have a couple of modes for him, really. And so when the drugs kick in, he looks mad.
Yeah.
And a lot of this happens with dementia patients as well. It's not a pretty sight. And the problem is that the media has hidden this whole thing. They thought that they could drag Biden across home plate there in November and then let Kamala or Newsom just take over. But instead, Joe's collapsing in free fall beforehand. And so their contingency plan is kicking in. They've already been ready with this. So I don't want it to feel all that hand-wringing and stuff that they pretended to be doing last night. No, they knew very well. As a matter of fact, I can't tell you how unusual it is for a presidential debate between the two main candidates to take place in June. It has literally not happened. So you can find primary debates for sure. But the two main candidates before their coronation at the convention does not happen. So this is highly unusual. And I think it was a test behind there to see, you know, could Biden hold up, or they all might have been just looking for an excuse. That was the other thing with the deep state planning mechanism that is in the heart of the Obama operation. Obama, a very witting member of that deep state and installed as a clerk generally for the bankers. You know, this was a guy who has had a major role in the background around this campaign. And right from the very beginning, you know, a lot of people have been talking in the press and saying like, oh, you know, I've seen Biden slipping here and there. Look, he already was not competent when he came into office. So they already were covering for him there. So therefore, you know, a lot of this is creating a narrative that, oh, suddenly Biden has lost his mind. No, he never had it to start with. he may have had it as vice president, but, you know, by the time he was running for office, there's no way. And we remember it quite well, and we've been dealing with it for 3 years. Someone else has been running for 3.5 years, that administration. This becomes a very key question to get at. How it relates to the continuity of government is very important, because unfortunately there's a huge gap in the understanding and the knowledge around emergency powers and continuity of government. I've tried to stress this. One of the only people in the entire field of alternative media or research, or however you would regard him, is a Professor Peter Dale Scott, who is the UC Berkeley professor who produced a number of books on the deep state and coined the term for American audiences. And it's very interesting because, you know, we've had him on the program many times. I've had many conversations with him. He's been a huge influence on our political thinking here on the show. And, you know, this isn't, he's great at really bringing things home about it's not a right-left issue. Here's a guy who's really a, you know, Berkeley professor on the left coast. I mean, he's as left as you can get. But he's the original left, and the original left was a much more idealistic group. And what's interesting to me is his ability to see through that crystal ball just how much the intel agencies were prosecuting President Trump. And one of his best books is this Dallas 63 book, The First Deep State Revolt Against the Presidency in the White House. And that is the first of many that would happen. They hadn't gone after the chief executive at that point. So the deep state got into a thing where they were like, you know, Kennedy was the model that they needed to take out, because here was someone in President Kennedy who challenged their ability to just walk into other countries and overthrow them, to run the world like a casino, and, you know, to stage elections and do terror and all the rest. So they realized at a certain point they were going to have to stop him. And what's interesting is in the traditional deep state operative world, and the authors that cover it and the deep researchers, they understand these factors very well. One of the things that we add on this show and the X series in general is we include the UFO perspective. The UFO file becomes crucial to understanding the deep state part. I've often talked about the split in research before between the deep state researchers on one side and the UFO file people on the other. And what's interesting is the UFO file researchers have a great advantage in a sense that they know about the UFO file. And, you know, that's a very important thing. But the problem is that the UFO researchers have no, they don't have good research skills and they don't understand how the government works. They love the government in many cases. And anytime a government operative shows up and say, I have the secret around UFO technology and all the rest, you know, we see those people paraded around on Tucker Carlson and everywhere else and CNN and Fox and everything else. And these are real hardcore CIA people trained to lie as counterintelligence officials. So we have to keep this in mind as we go forward, because what we're looking at is the UFO field and the UFO file research being crucial to all this deep state operation. But all the deep state operators don't want anything to do with the kind of clownish, almost WrestleMania world that the UFO thing swims in. So this is where, you know, we get great imbalances. If you take one of the things that we do on the show, the Great Nexus of the X series, is we're able to take the UFO file and bring it into the deep state perspective. So the very well-researched deep state potent perspective, understanding how the government works, how the government does assassinations, how the government controls economies, how the government is not a respecter of rights, and their activities, the American government in other countries. That's a crucial perspective to understand all the secrecy around the UFO file. And this is the great kind of realization that we have, which is right in the heart of this deep state activity, even in the actions of the Trump campaign and all the kind of resistance to Trump as a candidate, is actually rooted and embedded right in that knowledge of the UFO file. So this is how we're able to bring these things to light with facts and not with, you know, speculations and theories so much, but really hardcore detailed facts that we've been able to turn up. The reason I stress it is because, you know, one of the things I think that they're dedicated to doing as the next deep event, as it were, and they can cause deep events a number of ways right now, especially with the Russia-Ukraine war that's going on. But deep events is something, a term that Professor Scott coined many years ago. And the idea is that things like 9/11 or the JFK assassination or Watergate, this system that runs parallel with the actual governance system would reach in and cause a deep event to happen for a policy change. So you want your policy changed around secrecy, or the policy changed for, you know, Vietnam, or, you know, Iran-Contra, or Middle Eastern policy, the war on terror, you know, the financial coup d'etat of 2008, all these things required the secret system to reach into the public system and then step back out. And then everyone is left looking around and saying, what was that? That's why you still have people questioning what actually took place in the JFK assassination. We've done a number of shows on it showing how deep this goes. Now, that's 61 years ago come this November. And think about it. You know, the government's still holding records back. And we've really done a lot to showcase why and which records that they're holding back. And now it's becoming pretty much an open secret. You know, we know that they're holding back something in relation to the idea that the CIA assassinated President Kennedy. Well, they've been talking about that since the 1960s, these deep state researchers, but they haven't been able to really crack that wall of secrecy. One of the problems is they were missing one of the key points that Kennedy had, which was around the UFO file and the secrecy battle taking place between that deep state. So we'll bring that in tonight. But the continuity of government aspect plays out like this. The very same players involved in that deep state revolt in 1963 all worked with emergency management. This is crucial. And Professor Scott did a great job of illustrating throughout these successive deep events, we have emergency personnel, continuity of government personnel. John Dean had just come out of COG when he came in and became the lawyer of Nixon and helped set up Nixon to remove Nixon. Not that Nixon was perfect by a long shot, but certainly, you know, they could have done the same thing to an LBJ type character and they didn't. Other spectacular characters in history, Oliver North, for example, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, all come out of this system of COG. And what's interesting is even one of the madams that was involved in the whole Watergate story was involved with the continuity of government. Some of the Watergate burglars were, James McCord, for example. So these players are in that other system. And COG is such a secret system that it's very hard to know exactly what you're talking about. It used to be that you couldn't even bring it up. You know, there was an article that came out in the 1980s describing it in some way. But when it got floated out there during the Iran-Contra hearings, it was shut down and said, you have to go into secret session. You can never talk about this again and everything else. So that progression of the idea of the continuity of government is the Doomsday Project with its accompanying Doomsday Communications Network. That is what's going to give us an eye into what's going on in the background as they look at the options that they have for ruling into 2025 and somehow getting around this Trump victory in the fall of 2024, which is, after last night's debate performance, is absolutely assured at this point. I mean, with the terrible economy, the open border, you know, with 20 million people flowing in, the destruction of the cities, the lawlessness, you know, the trans agenda craziness. I mean, the Biden administration was headed down anyway, but the debate last night where Trump really came through and brought the thunder, he didn't need to really do anything, in fact, because Biden stumbled around, got facts mixed up, and just looked like someone who, you know...
That was generous.
Yeah.
Facts mixed up.
I mean, this is somebody who is just not with it. And, you know, he certainly, what's interesting is whatever it is that they give him. I've talked about this. There was an experimental drug called Storm, which was a drug for treating Alzheimer's patients. And the Alzheimer's patients, they tested them here at MIT. But what I heard around 2020, and I have not been able to confirm it, but I believe it's true, was that this is the drug that they were giving Trump to, they were giving Biden to keep him with it. But Biden had that very spooky look to him, like he was, you know, going to have an episode or a seizure on stage. And no question that it was one of the strangest, most bizarre events in debate history and in general. But it just opened up that window on what was already going on and which a number of us knew, but the media had been blocking off for years and years, trying to protect their own agenda because they had had this thing enshrined about Biden and all the rest. So now they're in a very tight fix. I'm going to get into exactly how they plan to get out of it and how continuity of government is involved. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is an X special report for the X series, the COG, Continuity of Government Emergency Powers Crisis, 1963 2024. It's been this arc in history, and it's about deep state control, and a lot of this is now coming to the surface. We're going to take your questions here shortly when I get through this. In the meantime, Miss Olivia, what do you got?
I love this. Joseph Tuga says, I saw people on YouTube today saying they will still vote for Biden. The stupid never ends.
You know, it's interesting. I mentioned the accelerated schedule of the debates and how presidential debates between the actual candidates, you know, on the Democrat and Republican side, not the primary contenders, don't happen in June. They set them up for September and October. That's the way it's been done for years. Somebody in the middle of all this, and it was the Biden side that suggested the dates because Trump was putting it out there. He's like, I'll face you anytime, anywhere. And they said, okay, CNN, with two moderators that hate you and in June. And Trump took it, to his credit. And what's interesting also, if you look at this, is Trump is under indictment. And then they had this phony case in Manhattan with Alvin Bragg and the whole nonsense Stormy Daniels thing. And they got this weird conviction of a charge that still nobody even knows what it is. Every legal scholar says the whole thing is going to be overturned. And it was only Alvin Bragg acting at the behest of the Biden administration that we even see this legal warfare going down. Now, they tried it in a number of states and in a number, they came in on a number of different angles. Georgia had a case. As we know, Jack Smith, you know, they got this very strange prosecutor who does international cases for the UN, not the kind of guy you would get for a case here against a former president. The raid on Mar-a-Lago, this is a steady pattern. And a lot of it pertains to direct deep state activity, which is why it's so unusual the way that it plays out. But the debate, there wasn't any way of getting around it. You know, Trump came out and hammered the points home. Biden was a deer in the headlights, looked like he was going to have a stroke, and he just not physically fit, not mentally with it. A complete disaster and a complete blowout, such that all the Democrats came out and said, we can't protect this guy anymore. Now, I think a lot of this was choreographed and staged and that they knew how this was going to happen. However, seeing headlines like this that came out in the New York Times is still dramatic. To serve his country, President Biden should leave the race. That just came out this afternoon from the New York Times. On the Democrat side, there's no greater flag waver than the New York Times. I mean, they are, you know, they've been the institution for the Democrats. And for them, and the deep state, for them to say it, you've lost your base. You know, the Democrats don't want him. Now, some very strange things came up. I have to get into this because it came out in the Atlantic, actually. And I'm going to dig this up, Miss Olivia. If you've got a question there, go for it.
Well, I've got a lot of great comments already. Let me get to the top one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Fractal Dust Bear. Could it be that COG took over the government some time ago? It could explain the seemingly insane shenanigans going on in Washington. And Cody G says, the Wiki COG page says it's still active since the January 6th event.
Well, we have to understand, I should lay out a little bit of a trail here of how COG works. So in short, in a nutshell, continuity of government program, and we've done a number of shows on it here, but here's what it is. Basically, right after World War II and the dropping of the atomic bomb in Japan, they decided we need a gigantic network of underground bases, because what's going to happen is these other countries are going to get our technology and everyone's going to have these. And so the nuclear face-offs are going to happen in the 1950s. So just like they did the highway system under Eisenhower, they did this incredible system of underground bunkers to survive an attack. And so the original planning, you could say, was sane. The problem is that it led to the secrecy piece. Now, you had a secrecy piece in the government from a number of different angles, drug running, the UFO file, advanced technology, and other things. But this was very interesting because they had an unlimited budget and incredible lack of oversight, because the whole idea was, hey, you know, the less people that know about this, the less our enemies will be able to know about it. In short, if our leadership is incapacitated, if there's a nuclear strike, a decapitation strike against the government, then you're going to have the president and the vice president neutralized, and then, you know, they can cause chaos. So you're going to have a backup unit that can operate the government. This is where NORTHCOM came from eventually. And what we have with NORTHCOM's development in 2001 is kind of the outgrowth of all of that. Now, an interesting thing happened as they were building up these secret bases, which is in the 70s, the CIA got into a lot of trouble. And so secrecy was out. It was on its way out. And so people like Ford and Carter actually put limits on the COG thing. And as they try to put limits on the COG thing and the CIA, what happened was the CIA offshored themselves. So some of their members went to places like Iran or South America and just waited for a favorable administration to come in. In this case, the Reagan administration in the 1980s with Vice President Bush, who became president, and of course his son. That's a lineage of the continuity of government program. When you see Liz Cheney out there trying to do her little rap number to get rid of President Trump, and she's a Republican, it doesn't make any sense why Liz and Dick Cheney are so against President Trump. That is COG speaking loud and clear. This guy doesn't fit in with the plan. And he knows too much already. He knows a lot about where the deep state bodies are buried. And he knows a lot about the secret UFO file programs through his uncle, John Trump. So we get some idea there of just the level of secrecy. Remember that the banned physicist Robert Sarbarker said the UFO file was above nuclear secrecy. That was in 1950. So we can only imagine the outgrowths of that kind of secrecy. But let's leave the UFO thing out of it for now. Looking at it and looking at the development of COG, in the 1980s, a weird thing happened, which is when Reagan came in, they suggested to him, hey, you're really paranoid about this nuclear exchange. How about you expand the COG program? And so he sat down with a number of people like Bush, like Oliver North, like Dick Cheney, who was not in government. He actually had become a congressman by the mid-80s in Wyoming. But Rumsfeld, who had been previously the youngest defense secretary in the United States, later had become the oldest, he has an interesting place here because he became the CEO of a pharmaceutical corporation in the middle of all this. Nonetheless, those were the same people in the 1980s setting up continuity of government. So even though he was a private citizen, he was involved in this, Rumsfeld, that is. And Cheney was, you know, as I said, not a defense secretary at that point. So also his appearance there is also a little bit strange in setting this up. Those gentlemen would use and execute the continuity of government COG program on 9/11. And that's where you get some of the weirdness with Bush's plane going to Nebraska and all that kind of thing. And then, you know, Cheney goes into the COG bunker and 2 months later comes out with the Patriot Act. It's very strange, the whole progression of the thing, very unusual. And Cheney was dedicated there. He was the dedicated member because he was the person, after all, who had set up COG in the beginning. So COG, you really have to think of it as an alternate system riding side by side with the regular system. So the deep state aspect and the crisscross with COG is unmistakable. The thing is, and when you've, you know, I've talked to people who've worked in these underground bases in one capacity or another, and they are extensive. We couldn't even imagine the kind of infrastructure that's down there. There's whole cities and malls and everything else. So that's a whole world that we don't get to know anything about because it's an alternate, you know, society, as it were. Interestingly enough, this emergency program covered by so much oversight, the continuity of government program, they've been able to build out. And what happened in the 80s period was that they made a change in the program. And they said, instead of having this for a nuclear emergency, we're going to declare it for any emergency. Then they attached another weird piece to this. And I'll have some quotes from Professor Scott on this tonight. They said, anyone who's a dissident, and we'll keep a dissident list, and we'll be able to round up those dissidents in the event of an emergency and keep them in COG facilities. So, you know, you can see how highly unconstitutional this whole thing is. It's extra constitutional, the entire structure around it. And then anyone who tried to penetrate or get anywhere near it, it was under such a cloak of secrecy, you couldn't get near it. And it had virtually no oversight. So here you can see the possibilities for mischief making. Now, I mentioned that people throughout these various deep events, Secret Service agent who was with President Kennedy in Dallas in 1963, Winston Lawson, directly out of that COG program and using the secret doomsday emergency network during the setup of the Dallas trip. John Dean, having worked with that and then, you know, being the person to cause the resignation his evidence causing the resignation of Richard Nixon, all these people being associated with the secret system. That's where Professor Scott got the idea that there was a crisscross going on between these deep events and continuity of government. I'm going to read a very key quote, and then we're going to get back to the Biden replacement theory in the middle of all this. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. We're going to go just about another hour with you here tonight. It's a short special to kind of get us all understanding what's going on the political front and the presidential election, so crucial and so important. We're going to be taking your questions here in about 15 minutes before I go any further. Miss Olivia, what do you got?
Rehoboth Farm says, I expect to see Kamala invoke the 25th Amendment Section 4 by the end of next week. Chip Roy is even putting forward a House resolution calling her to do so.
Interesting. 25th Amendment is not as easy as it looks. Actually, Jonathan Turley is a really great legal scholar, has put out a series of interesting articles about this. And the thing about Article 25 is it really, since it was laid out in this period of time when the Founding Fathers were doing things, it was about a physical disability. Somebody, you know, who'd had a stroke or an injury and wasn't able to perform the duties. The idea of them being mentally out of it becomes a harder thing to prove. It's very easy, of course, in Biden's case. But the statute itself is written that they could get around that. So it's not as easy as it looks. What's interesting is you can see a push-pull, and you can kind of see a revolt inside that Democratic structure to remove Biden. And you can also see the Biden forces saying, no, no, we can take it through the election. And they're probably thinking some kind of a deal. You know, we'll get through the election and we'll keep the power. And then you guys can replace him with the vice president or whatever. These people, what I think of as kind of the Obama team, are very nervous about that. No one in that structure, especially in a deep state structure, wants the reality of Trump coming back. They never thought it would happen. They put social media against him. They put the media against him. And, you know, they did everything that they could. And here he is back. And he's the main candidate. They gave billions of dollars to the governor of Florida to get rid of him in the primaries. They gave tons of money to Nikki Haley to get rid of him. None of it worked. You know, Trump is popular. Trump had a successful presidency. And so, you know, they see the real, very real possibility that they'll have to deal with this thing again. Now, I've put on the record before that when it comes to Trump, you have to, when he sits, you know, across the table from these players, you have to kind of peel them off the ceiling with the levels that they'll go to, impeachment, you know, the Russia hoax and all these different things that they try to do to get him in prison. I mean, they really want this guy out of the picture. And, you know, assassination, in my opinion, is not off the table at all. But I think that President Trump and his security are aware of that contingency. And so they've been able to defy it. Also, I don't know that the deep state wants to be that obvious. Even though they're being pretty obvious by trying to stick him in prison. So they thought they could scare him off or run him off from this. Now they're face to face with their worst nightmare. Here's this guy again. He's not for open borders. He's America first. He's not an empire builder. He's not for international wars. These are just facts. You know, people have ups and downs. You know, they like this party or that party. Look, there are a lot of Republicans that don't want Trump. And, you know, this is just the nature of the situation. Trump is in many ways an outsider and an independent in his own fashion, although he's in these systems. He has his own high-level connections in all this, and being a billionaire and all the rest. But nonetheless, the group that is running the world doesn't want Trump in there at all. And so this is the nature of the problem. They can't run the trans agenda. They really can't run the whole transhumanism piece with him in there. And I've heard a lot of foolish commentary from smart people when it comes to Trump saying, oh, the Trump and Biden presidency would be exactly the same. It's totally wrong. And we hear that from smart people in the independent circles. And it's just dumb, you know. So I think that those people need to reevaluate it. And their solution is walk away from it. Don't get caught up in the political theater. Well, if you do that, you might end up with Joe Biden handing the country over to, you know, terrorists from the Middle East who can just swarm in through the border. And they'll ruin your cities, and eventually they'll take down America by overburdening the entitlements system. So no, you can't walk away. This is a really important election. I've stressed it from the beginning. 2024 is probably the most crucial election since 1960. And so I think we have to kind of get our heads wrapped around that. Okay, the Biden replacement option. The Atlantic is already floating this. The Atlantic is the other Democratic publication, woke, highly liberal, and all the rest of it, but institutional, and a good bellwether on how this system is taking it. And what they're saying is, here's what they floated the day after. Biden replacement operation. Well, that sounds like something that's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
The tricky business of changing presidential candidates without tearing the party apart and losing the election anyway. That's where they're at. So they're putting it out there. They've been prepared, in my opinion, with this probably since the beginning of the year. The other thing that they floated was Trump can't get into the presidency or doesn't deserve the presidency because the whole premise is that he's a failed coup leader and that we treat him as a legitimate candidate for president. This will be their line. He's a coup leader, so therefore he's not allowed to become president again, even if he wins. This is the nature of the problem and why COG could be invoked if they get to that point and they say it's a national emergency, we're pressing that button. Now, I don't mean to scare people with COG. Here's what you need to understand about COG. COG is not some myth somewhere. I've studied it closely to see who's in charge of it, who are the generals who are in charge of it now. And what we know is that the way that the system works, COG can be invoked. It was, for example, invoked during 9/11, and the 9/11 emergency is still part of the National Defense Authorization Act. It's never been revoked. As a matter of fact, every president since then has signed it. Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden, they all signed on to NDAA. And it was very clever the way that the NDAA has been sculpted by that national security state, because they put all the funding for the military in there, everything. So $1 trillion. And then if you don't sign it, if you don't sign that emergency part, then you're blocking all this money. And they've been able to really boondoggle a lot of weird projects involved with this. The UFO Defense Office, ARRO, was put in there by Marco Rubio and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand out of New York. Well, they hijacked the NDAA and they said, if you don't pass this UFO Defense Office, then it doesn't happen. Now, UFOs and COG, this is a reality. In February of 2023, we did a number of shows on it because the general of NORTHCOM, who would be the combatant commander of the United States once they called continuity of government, he came forward during these various balloons, first that were Chinese balloons going across the United States, and then later unidentified objects in Alaska, which they claimed to shoot down UFOs. These were the headlines in the New York Times and the way that they played this out and played it through. It's very important for us to keep in mind that General Van Herk, who was doing all this, was the leader of NORTHCOM, simultaneously the combatant commander of the United States through COG, and simultaneously the leader of NORAD, the North American Air Defense. So this is the three-way piece leadership that they give this guy. And he eventually now just handed it over to another general. And all of these generals have weird UFO connections. And I don't think that's by accident. One of the weird moments that kind of peeled back the layer and allowed us to look and sort of tore the veil apart was when I was looking at a series of strange articles in Newsweek magazine. And there's a writer there who's really got a lot of details about continuity of government. And Professor Scott originally tipped me off to his work, and I read his books. But the guy's name is Arkin, William Arkin. But what was strange, Professor Scott said, he mentions all this stuff about COG and all the rest of it, but he never talks about Dick Cheney. He never talks about Donald Rumsfeld. He never talks about the political implications of this thing. So he left a lot out. So I was reading a number of articles that Newsweek had put together. And I'm going to show how this flashes forwards and backwards here. Here were the articles. Exclusive: Donald Trump's martial law talk has military on red alert. This is in December of 2020, after the election, and we all know how manipulated the election was. Declared Biden was the winner, and there were all these cases, you know, of Trump putting it forward, saying that, you know, there was a lot of hanky-panky involved. Now, what happened here is very interesting. Newsweek was pushing this whole narrative as if Trump was going to call martial law. And the idea that he would call martial law was that so they could inspect the voting ballots, because they weren't tabulated by hand. They had this company, Dominion Voting, and all the rest of it. And there was a lot of media cover on Dominion Voting and their electronic machines and the manipulation involved. Now, there was a lot of the media covering up for them. Here were some of the details and some of how I got into it and how Newsweek eventually blocked me. And this writer started calling me bizarre names online and really just flipping out. And whenever they flip out like that, you know, you're real close. Because this guy had been writing for 20 or 30 years. And here I was coming out, you know, this lone outpost saying, wait a minute, you know, there's something wrong with what you put across there. So here's how the article goes. Newsweek, December 2020. Pentagon and Washington area military leaders are on red alert, wary of what President Donald Trump might do in his remaining days in office. Some officers, ranking officers, have discussed what they would do if the president declared martial law. Military commands responsible for Washington, D.C. are engaged in secret contingency planning in case the armed forces are called upon to maintain and restore civil order during the inauguration and transition period. According to one officer who spoke to Newsweek, the planning is being kept out of sight of the White House and Trump loyalists in the Pentagon for fear that it would be shut down. Now, Trump is still the commander-in-chief at this point. So they're keeping these generals are doing these exercises in the background about how they would take over if they felt that Trump was doing something illegal, and they're keeping it out of sight of Trump. Okay, so they're all right there, you know, you're set up for martial law. You're going to get court-martialed yourself, because that's illegal if you're a general to plot against your own commander-in-chief. So the tone of the article was strange right off the bat, and everybody was demanding anonymity, you know, saying, well, I'm not going to go on the record with this, but, you know, here's what they're saying. I've been associated with the military for over 40 years, the source said, and I've never seen the discussions that are being had right now, the need for such discussion. Retired flag officer said that. Currently a defense contractor who has mentored and advised senior leaders. He was granted anonymity in order to speak without fear of reprisal. This is how they got around all this. And there's a little bit of talk here about JSOC and how they were planning to take over in the event that President Trump, for example, you know, they thought, oh, he's doing something illegal, you know, if he's demanding that these voting boxes be open and things like that. So they would just take over. So there was a COG wave right around 2020 at the end during the post-election period. There's a couple of weird things about that. One of it is in October, when suddenly Trump got COVID, a lot of strange things took place. And suddenly Nancy Pelosi was talking about how she was next in line after Pence, and that she was talking with continuity of government people every day. Now, before 2020, you would never see anything about continuity of government except in, you know, obscure places like books by Professor Peter Dill Scott or on this show. But during 2020, they had the COG leaders out, you know, walking around New York and saying, like, this ship is coming in, bringing in COVID supplies and stuff. And they were trying to normalize this whole thing. So they had a COG commander up there, and Terrence McCullough. And what's interesting is I recognized as they were laying out the quotes that this was the COG commander that was giving the quotes. He had just retired and handed the baton off to General Van Herk. So here's the quote that got me and how Newsweek ended up blocking me for this. But it's significant because their writer, William Arkin, is such a COG expert that you had to know that they were hiding something. Quote, "At this point, there's no telling what the president might do in the next month, says a former NORTHCOM commander. Now, NORTHCOM, remember, he's a three-way player. He runs NORTHCOM, he runs NORAD, and he's the combatant commander of the United States in the event that they activate continuity of government. He's been intimately involved in the development of domestic civil planning. That means when they roll out COG, what happens is they have regional governors for each area, these zones for the United States. The governors, the regional governors take over their generals and he appoints them. And so no more, you know, regular governors of states or anything like that, regional governors. And he needs to establish order so there can be another election someday again, you know. But in the absence of that, he's a military commander and the COG structure takes over. Now, here's what he had to say. Though I'm confident that the uniformed military leadership has their heads screwed on right, the craziness is unprecedented and the possibilities are endless, like you taking over the country, for example. The retired flag officer also requested anonymity. So I went forward and put it to Arkin online that the source for this article was very clearly the recently retired COG commander, just before General Van Herk. Now, they, as I said, they flipped out and blocked me as a result of that, but he couldn't stop himself. And he was saying through these irresponsible comments, how dare you? And that he came up with a number of very colorful names for me as well. This is a very interesting point because here was the COG commander giving the game away in the background and also reassuring the structure saying, we've been having these generals planning these exercises basically to take over. Now, that's a huge move, and it's doing it publicly and stating it through Newsweek was gigantic, in my opinion. They wanted this word to get out. And so COG, rather than it being some obscure narrative out there, is a very real program that's already been activated. And here you have generals using military exercises already to take over the United States from the inside, from the secret extra-constitutional place, which no elected official, we haven't elected anybody to run NORTHCOM or whatever. They've just appointed these people. So it's a very strange situation for us to be in. Whenever we get around elections where the deep state doesn't want this guy in, they have a certain amount of options. But if they can't prevent, for example, Trump from getting in, what are they going to do? The odds for COG go up. And just like the odds for a nuclear exchange or the odds for them pulling a UFO threat or whatever, there are times when those odds move up and we get a little bit closer to that particular situation. That's what we're going to talk about next and take your questions here shortly. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is COG, Emergency Powers Crisis, 1963-2024, revealed. We're right in the heart of it. And that debate last night raised the stakes around a continuity of government scenario, as the replacement plan could be one thing that they could try. But if they can't pull it off, they're going to need a deep event in order to sideline President Trump from getting reinstalled and becoming their worst nightmare. We'll take your questions here momentarily. I have a couple more things before we go any further. So, Olivia,
this is fascinating. John Gausso says Highway 101 was retrofitted with EMPs to shut down vehicle traffic in Sonoma County. The Bright at Airport Boulevard was rebuilt to support Abrams tanks. The airport was rebuilt to support AC-130s, and goes on from there. These are the kind of things that, you know, are happening under the radar.
Contingency plans, setup plans, background plans, drills, COG drills. For example, there was a COG drill going on during 9/11. And one of the things I like about Professor Scott's work is he talks about the piggyback effect. And so there's an operation that's going on, and then this deep state creeps in and piggybacks on top of it, knows, is aware of it, and utilizes it. So the fact that, you know, communications get wiped out for a certain period of time. It's interesting, too, the stress that he puts on the doomsday communication network, because it's so ultra secret that no communications can be tracked. No NSA is tracking that and all the rest. So it's ideal for these people who are working in this extra constitutional arrangement to utilize this doomsday communications network. It was utilized during the Kennedy assassination. That's on record now. It was utilized during the Iran-Contra piece by Oliver North to keep all of his communications with the Iranians secret, and the diversion of funds to Nicaragua and all that sordid business, which we only got a glimpse of. Remember that as well. How many people know that Iran-Contra was related to space, for example, and SDI? See, these things run a heck of a lot deeper, and that's how I think we need to look at them. I put things on the deep state side heavily, and I mean heavily, into the arena of aerospace, which is something that's missing in a lot of the traditional analysis around this. I think a lot more answers come out of that whole ex-protect aerospace assassin piece. And it's very interesting because it was people like Jim Garrison who had investigated the Kennedy assassination that gave us the first glimpses of that. So we're getting glimpses of it in the 1960s, and it's only 50, 60 years later into this period of time that we can get a real sense with the privatization of space, with SpaceX, with the satellite takeover, that the idea, the goal is domination of everything on the ground from space. So, you know, you have other elements like drug running or election overthrowing and all the rest of it, but the goal is up there. So we need to keep that in mind as well. I want to remind you, especially if you're new here, before we go any further, to sign up for our newsletter at darkjournalist.com. That's a free newsletter, but it keeps us in touch, and you'll find out all the incredible things that we have coming up for you. Remarkable interviews, and I mean amazing things this summer. X-series episodes, documentaries. We right now have the Steganography Cinema documentary. That one is quite incredible. We did one on Apotheum that was amazing, but the latest one is Hacking Atlantis, The Craze in the Hot Zone. If you know this show, you're no stranger to the Hot Zone down in the Bahamas and all the political intrigues involving ancient ruins down there. That video is available, and there's going to be a full 4K version of it available that we're putting up on Amazon in mid-July. So all that stuff is coming together. You have the ability on the channel to view that now. I've left it up there. And so we have a lot more of this coming up for you, events, you know, the works. So make sure you stand up and are counted on that newsletter list. All right, a little more on emergency powers, then we go to your question.
Can I throw something out?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, Rotten CryptoBit says UN Summit of Future in NYC in September will discuss COG in the event of a planetary emergency.
Wow. Oh, it's on their mind. COG was on the Bilderberg agenda, not this year, last year. So they discussed it at length during their meetings. And we know that they are one of the major meetings along with Davos crowd up there in Switzerland. Here's another thing I want to put out there about emergency powers. People sometimes don't get it. And you see in the UFO world, especially, they don't understand the idea that emergency powers could be invoked if there was a false UFO threat that was presented, for example. The government has shown instances of this. Last year, they had the COG commander out there saying it could be extraterrestrial. They test marketed this, okay? This is not theoretical. They've already test marketed it on us. The proof is there. It's undeniable. The press went crazy with this idea of a UFO threat right around 2020. They were trying to get people who were at home during COVID in lockdowns watching all this UFO threat nonsense thinking, I wonder if we could get them to believe this. And in my opinion, there is no UFO threat. This is something that they would like to create, but there obviously are UFOs. This is the whole thing. So there is a separate structure operating here side by side with us. That also makes things complicated. So now emergency powers. Well, we saw, for example, Justin Trudeau's Canada utilize emergency powers. He pressed the button during the trucker protest. We saw Gavin Newsom saying, I'll call martial law anytime I want during this COVID thing and bragging about it. You know, saw people like Gretchen Whitmer, who's often talked about as a presidential candidate on the Democrat side, who dresses like Fonzie in her leather jackets and all the rest. And she was, you know, preventing people from buying seeds during the lockdowns. Quite absurd. But you can see this pattern here, just like you see Macron, for example, when he couldn't, you know, get that whole age thing passed about joining their version of Social Security, the retirement thing. They were just like, hey, I'll just pass it through emergency powers. How do you like that? So that's how they do it. Here's a recent example. This just happened. Newsom, or they're floating as maybe a replacement for Biden. Lawmakers use cuts, reserves, and fiscal emergency declaration to solve budget deficit. That's what he did. He just, hey, you know what? We're in a huge deficit in California because I've run the state like crap, and I'll just press an emergency button, and it's all solved. They will use emergency powers. They don't have the governance ability. They're not high in the polls. You know, the last poll I saw for Biden in a Democrat poll, it was 33%. So think about that. They don't have the governance ability. So emergency powers is an obvious go-to for them. Justin Trudeau's Canada, he has a 24% approval rating in most polls. You can't govern that way. You need that threat that you can use emergency powers. So they will use emergency powers. It's not something that is fear porn or hypothetical. They have used them. It's just the scale that we're talking about. Would they ever use the scale for continuity of government? Well, during COVID, they prevented you from going to church, prevented you from walking around without a mask, prevented you from going to your job, mandated, you know, all kinds of different types of pharmaceutical projects, which were highly unethical. You know, so yes, they will do it. They absolutely would do it, 100%. The question is the timing ideal for them to do it? That is why we bring up the COG question in relation to the debate last night. So the quotes here from Peter Dale Scott about COG, and then we go to your questions.
Sure.
Ms. Olivia, what do you got?
Oh, where do I even start? There's too many.
Okay, here's one. And a lot of people online, a lot of news organizations have been trying to shoot this down. There's a Senate bill that included a female U.S. military draft. There's no question about this. I found the bill. I've read the provision. The Senate is trying to pass the fact that a U.S. military draft bill would require women to register for selective service. Now, Fox has reported on it. There's one article. The Hill, which is largely liberal, they reported on it. Senate Democrats have added language to the annual defense authorization bill, NDAA. Again, that's how they got the September 11th emergency thing that lets them do wireless warrants and all the rest, wiretaps. They've added language to the annual defense authorization bill to require women to register for the draft, prompting a backlash from Republicans and social conservatives. Good, because social conservatives and Republicans should backlash against that. It's an asinine idea, complicating the chances of moving the bill on the Senate floor before Election Day. Conservatives led by Roger Wicker are certain to attempt to remove the provision requiring women to register for the draft, which could present a tough vote for the Democrat from Montana, whose name is Tester. These things are facts on the ground. Now, for some reason, USA Today and the New York Times are trying to knock the whole thing down and say it's an online conspiracy that they're trying to draft women. It's very strange. When a story gets ahead of them, they just put out their own misinformation to block it and be like, hey, no, it's not happening. Whenever something is unpopular, they'll move it this way and they'll say, no, they're not trying to draft women. Well, the response from us should be, yes, they are, because there are the articles and I've read the Senate bill that it does. So there's a lot of weird lying, out and out lying going on. Of course, it is a campaign year, but the lying seems to be, you know, lies and living in lies. So you have to kind of double check everything at this point. And in fact, they are setting up provisions to try to pass this bill where women would be drafted. Now, what war do you think they would send them to go to? It would obviously be fighting in Ukraine, because Biden, what he can do on his way out, you know, before he's deceased, is he can christen Ukraine part of NATO, and then it's a you attack one, you attack all, and that puts us in World War III with Russia. That's the idiocy that the neocons, led by Victoria Nuland and others over there, fighting this ridiculous proxy war through Ukraine with Russia. It's absolute insanity. And one of the things that I think was a great moment in Trump's debate last night on his side was that he said, I can end that war before I even get into office once I'm president-elect. And I believe it. I believe that he could. And I don't believe it would have ever happened had he been president. So, you know, this is some of the things to keep in mind. You know, we don't want people going to war. They did this whole thing where they're trying to pitch to older women that they should join the military. They have all these commercials now that they're running, like, hey, you know, be all you can be. So, you know, they're planning on putting together this granny squad and sending them to Ukraine because nobody, you know, who else are they going to appeal to do this? This is strange, and it needs to be stopped along with the closing of the southern border. They're trying to remake this country and ship us out to get killed in Ukraine. None of that can be allowed to happen, and the Biden administration needs to be stopped on Election Day in November, and Trump is the only person who can do it. I'm sorry for the Bobby Kennedy fans out there. I've tried to promote Bobby's candidacy because I like the ideas, but since he switched to being an independent, there's no way that Bobby can win. I've done the map electorally. There's no electoral votes out there for him at all. You need 270, and he doesn't have a path to any. And part of that is not because he's a bad candidate. He has some of the best ideas. The problem is you need the infrastructure that comes from building a party, first of all, an independent especially. And he's in a much better position to come forward. And so the wait for 28, I think, should be the signal for Bobby. And the fact that he's given a number of interviews recently, and this is not good, where he said, oh, you know, I'm staying in no matter what, I don't think that that's wise. I think I would, especially after last night, get out of the race and throw your support to Trump. Trump can only serve one term, after all. And just say that Biden is too dangerous. I don't want my kids to grow up in World War III. And I don't want the border to collapse and for the United States to become part of some North American zone that the central bankers can control. I think that people would look at that from all sides as a brave decision on his part. If he just stays in there, you know, the numbers haven't clicked. You're already into July, basically. And so if you can't win, then it's not looking. You know, you've already added the ideas into the campaign cycle, which I think are important. And I think it set you up very well to, you know, put together this party for 2028. But I think if you're in there and you're seen as siphoning votes off from Trump or making it easier for Biden, then it becomes a tricky situation. And I think there is some evidence for that. So I would say, you know, the sooner the better. I think if Bobby got out and threw his support to Trump right now as a patriotic act in order to get to make sure, because the whole idea I've had since the beginning of this election was that Bobby would come in on one side and Trump would come in on the other and the Biden administration would be crushed in the middle. That's where the sickness is. And all the good ideas are on these two candidates. So that's where the constitutional rule is. And neither candidate, you know, Bobby or Trump aren't supposed to be perfect. You know, you can't have a kind of purist snobbery when you get into politics. What you need is people who respect the Constitution, who respect the borders, and understand about, you know, progressive, I guess progressive was the original word, but understand about these types of policies that respect the Constitution and are sensible. And it's becoming obvious that the Democrat Party is just in the throes of the crazies at this point. And, you know, and it's not some of the Republicans are too, which is why, you know, it's weird even to regard Trump as a Republican, but he is, there it is. But he's certainly the one who can end the war in Ukraine, who can firm up the border and all the rest. So, you know, that's how to remove Biden in this cycle. Otherwise you have a kind of a chaotic thing. So that's where I think the Bobby piece is going. One of the thing I think for us to keep in mind and one of the reasons I included President Kennedy on the poster for tonight, President Kennedy had a great sense of the forces that were trying to remove the constitutional protections from the average citizen. And he often spoke about, disabling their efforts. In one of his famous speeches, he talked about how the word secrecy was repugnant in a free and open society. There's another key line in there that I'm going to read here. And President Kennedy, I think, who saved the world during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and many of the details still haven't come out, nor have they come out about his assassination. But he paid the ultimate price by going up against the secret structure in the deep state and spearheaded by the Central Intelligence Agency and others. So that is the bravery that we're dealing with. And it is a very worthy thing for us to keep in mind. There's that echo of Camelot in this election. There's no question about it. And here are the quotes. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. We are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts, like COG, I'll insert there, far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there's little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there's little value in ensuring the survival of our nations if our traditions do not survive with it. Absolutely crucial. And he says, that I do not intend to permit. He said, there's very grave danger that an announced need for increased security, emergency powers right there, will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That's exactly what we're seeing now. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it is in my control. It's very interesting, you know, Kennedy had a front row seat to the whole Hitler thing. And he'd been in World War II, and he visited Germany in the lead up, the run up to World War II. During the lead up there, one of the ways that Adolf Hitler got into power the way that he did, not just that he was the leader, but he was the absolute ruler of Germany, was that he used something and rushed it through their version of Congress. And they called it the Enabling Act. And oh, it was an emergency because the communists had burned the Reichstag building. That was the original false flag there. And that Enabling Act gave them the ability to enact emergency powers. This is the echo of emergency powers across time. It's the same thing. Oh, you're under attack. We have to use this emergency. COVID was the emergency. Continuity of government is the emergency. The tensions with Russia, potential nuclear exchange, are an emergency. The terror threat, 9/11, you're under emergency powers. So they create these windows for emergency. It's very interesting if you go back in history to see how people have utilized it. There are entire secret political structures operating with this level of emergency powers. One thing that was interesting was the Nixon administration looked at a number of things when they got into office because they were thinking about how can we utilize this law or that law in relation to how we prosecute the Vietnam War. And they found out that the United States was still in a total state of emergency from the Korean War, and someone had forgot to sort of shut off and pull the plug. So all these things, all this underground economy of an emergency were, you know, going forward under the radar. And so they shut off this weird thing. God knows how many incomes and how much funny money were going on in the background that they just pulled the plug on, because after all, the Korean War ended in 1953, and here's Nixon looking at this in 1970. So there's a lot of things going on in the background that may relate to a secret structure that goes far deeper than just the average government that we see on the surface. So, you know, sometimes when we're looking at something like Stepford Biden and, you know, his sort of drooling appearance and the incredible claptrap that comes out of Kamala Harris and all the rest of it, we're not really seeing the deeper structure. These are the front people. that they've rolled out, you know, and that was very true with Obama. And if you go a little bit deeper on Obama, look, Obama knew how to be a politician and knew how to give a speech, but his actual intelligence level was not very deep at all. And once that kind of glorification of Obama was removed, you could see that he was, you know, not a very deep thinker. And he was the ultimate clerk for the bankers, even though he was the hope and change guy, right? But he was still 10 times the politician that Joe Biden was. And just like President Clinton was 10 times the politician that Hillary Clinton was. But they will use these front people to front for this other thing. And more it becomes important to find out who exactly is running the government. When you get to COG, you get closer. And that's why I'm very thankful to people like Professor Scott who put these things on the record. I've got a quote from Professor Scott, and then we're going to go to Olivia's questions. Okay. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is COG, Emergency Powers Crisis, 1963 to 2024 revealed. We're right in the heart of it. The COG command post is as active as ever. As I said, it's the NORTHCOM commander. Well, I'll tell you about NORTHCOM. It didn't even exist until September 11th. This is a military command that didn't exist. Now they run the United States. In the event that continuity of government is declared, and it has once been declared during September 11th, that we know of already, we have a combatant commander who is the leader of NORTHCOM, and General Gillett. And he is also, as I said, the commander of NORAD and also the commander of the continuity of government. So he's got all three commands. This is too much authority to put in any one person. And NORTHCOM itself is an extra constitutional agency. It should not be running the United States. So these are things that are just sitting there, and they come out of the Patriot Act, they come out of 9/11, they come out of the trajectory of deep state activity since the Kennedy assassination, since the first deep state revolt against the White House. And of course, some of this activity goes even further back, but that is the pinpoint. And that's what I think we need to look at here. After all, there's a lot, and I mean a lot of research that points directly to COG individuals. We can see them on the record being involved in the trip to Dallas with President Kennedy. These are important things if we're going to unravel that and really be a nation in truth and in honesty, is to get to the bottom of the JFK files, as President Trump now has declared he will do. And I'm sure that that's something that Bobby supports. Okay, the quotes from Professor Scott, two that I think are crucial indeed. The first one dealing with things around Kennedy, and then the broader stroke of continuity of government. This is from Dallas 63, The First Deep State Revolt Against the White House. Fantastic book by Professor Scott. He says, "Permit me at this moment an instructive digression. It is by now well established that the Kennedy administration in 1963 was concerned enough by the threat of far-right treason that he urgently persuaded Hollywood director John Frankenheimer to turn the novel 7 Days in May into a movie." Now, one of the things about that movie is it has a COG commander who's played by Burt Lancaster, who takes over. And he thinks the president is a weak sister, and he just invokes, you know, he gets the COG thing going, and he's trying to launch missiles and have an exchange with Russia because he doesn't like the anti-ballistic missile treaty. Now, what's interesting about this is Kennedy went to great lengths to have the director do the movie at the White House. And he said, people need to know back then how the government actually operates and how there's this out of control element there in the military intelligence side. The COG piece is interesting because over the shoulder of the character, and I showed this on a program last year, of the general Burt Lancaster, is on a map is Roswell, instantly indicating that that whole piece about COG is connected deeply with New Mexico and the crash there. Now, we have seen that in 1963, Kennedy had aroused major right-wing dissatisfaction, largely because of signs of his increasing rapprochement with the Soviet Union. This is interesting. Remember, the right was how the deep state operated here during the Kennedy era. They would flip over, and now they're using the liberal side because they don't have any political identification. Remember, they just like to utilize the power structure. And so he talks about some of the setup of the General Walker aspect, where they set up the phony thing about, oh, Oswald took a shot at him. I won't go into that here, but I'll say this. It is important at this stage to point out that although COG elements like Mount Weather were considered part of the Pentagon, the COG government in waiting was at no time under simple military control. On the contrary, President Eisenhower had ensured that it was broadly based at the top, outside of government and its planners, and included some of the nation's top corporate leaders like Frank Stanton of CBS. By all accounts of COG leadership in the decades after Reagan took office in 1981, this so-called shadow government still included CEOs of private corporations like Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, as well as three former CIA directors, Richard Helms, James Schlesinger, and George Bush. Those are the people running the continuity of government apparatus. And we see, again, when Liz Cheney came out there and when she was trying to do the J6 committee in order to drum up this phony charge with Jack Smith against Trump, that is the COG force trying to consolidate and remove this threat. Somehow Trump is a threat to that COG control, just like he's a threat on the secrecy side. This is something that is very easily traceable if we look deeply about who's operating, who's the control factor. But interesting also to note that in that deep state COG structure, it's not just military people. For example, in the case of Eisenhower, he had the president of CBS. And the final quote on this from Trump for tonight from Professor Scott is this. He mentions COG in relation to 9/11. It's so crucial. This book, of course, The American Deep State, absolute classic that everyone should own. And I understand they've made it harder and harder to get this book, but hopefully they'll reissue it. Absolutely outstanding. Quote, now, Professor Scott, I mentioned earlier that the proclamation of a national emergency issued by Bush on September 14th, 2001, and since renewed annually to this day, changed significantly in 2007. All previous annual renewals had enumerated the emergency measures were being renewed. For example, the measures taken on September 14th, 2001, and November 16th, 2001, January 16th, 2002. After Bush issued NSPD-51 of 2007, with its new vision and its new classified COG annexes, the next renewal of emergency proclamations placed the previous specific enumerations with a more sweeping general sentence. Here's the sentence that's going to help us understand how this fits into the 2024 election. And I quote, because of the terrorist threat and how it continues, the national emergency declared on September 14th, 2001, last extended to 2006, and the powers and authorities adopted to deal with that emergency must continue in effect beyond September 14th, 2007. And so it's been encoded into the NDAA to perennially keep us under a state of emergency. So we're already under an emergency of September 11th. They can activate emergency powers at any time. So when we get into elections where they don't want a candidate to win and they've pulled out every stop to prevent him from getting back into the White House, in this case, President Trump, including phony law cases and lawfare and all the rest of it, I'm sure they would have done the same to Bobby had he gotten into a position where he was going to win, then their opportunity to use emergency powers in order to prevent that from happening become much more it raises the possibilities of them doing that. Just like those scientists who have a doomsday clock, when there's a tense exchange of military going on somewhere in the world, what do? They move the clock a little bit. They move the hand a little closer to midnight. Well, I would say they've moved with that debate performance last night, the hand of the emergency powers activation through COG, that hand has moved. And the extent to which they clean it up with a replacement candidate, the extent to which it goes down in some other fashion, those are all odds that are on the table right now. But there's no question that the COG part should be a factor in how we're looking at this, because it's completely unconstitutional. One, it is a sprawling secret organization, budgeted every year billions of dollars in secret. So one of the interesting things that I think Professor Scott put on the record is, you know, of all the different things that we don't know about in the government, that agency is the most super secret. The CIA is secret, the NSA is secret, but COG, we just have no idea. And the oversight is so scant at this point that you have an entirely separate covert government operating on the bottom there. This is a crucial aspect, especially when looking at how an election like the one we're looking at could be legitimized and go forward under normal circumstances, or if they would try to prevent it by the effect of some deep event that would give them the emergency powers to do so. This is what is on the line and why we need to look at these things on a very deep basis. And I think the debate last night was a window, somewhat of a window there, and even some of those Democrats turning on their candidate. And with that, Miss Olivia, okay, your questions.
We got tons of questions. Yeah. Free says, one theory out there is that there will not be an election this year. DJ's thoughts. Ray's story says, how about a new bogus avian flu event equal COG time? And Charles Wagner says, Rex 84 was a COG plan for 500,000 illegal aliens. What is the COG plan for 180 million illegal aliens?
That's true. See, Rex 84 is a COG practice run. So it was a program inside of the continuity of government planning. And Oliver North was right in the heart of that with George Bush. What's interesting about that is it sets up COG to keep a dissident list, so that if we get into a war with another country, they know we need to grab these people and hold them in COG facilities. And you hear a lot of things about, you know, FEMA camps are being prepared. We've heard that for years. But, you know, they had some inkling of the whole COVID camp thing, right? They have it in the back of their mind. They don't know how to execute on that level. But Rex 84 is a real program for rounding up dissidents. In that case, the thinking was, if we go to war with Central America, these Latin American people who are here will protest against it and interrupt our efforts and all the rest. So we should have the ability to, hold them and detain them. And it's highly illegal, but they were giving themselves the ability to do this. So it is a blueprint for rounding up citizens of the United States in an unconstitutional fashion who didn't agree with the state edicts. Very interesting also that this was going on in the 80s, and Reagan was facing off against the Soviet Union, and what he, you know, was obviously dealing with a big nuclear threat there. But the forces around him, like Cheney and Rumsfeld and North and Bush, were saying, oh no, it's not just nuclear, you need to include everything, so that they could have a situation where, hey, you know what, there's a UFO threat, invoke COG, or hey, this guy, you know, try to take over the government, and now he's won a re-election. Guess what? He's actually a coup leader. That's an emergency. Press the COG button. So it gives them the options for consolidation. In terms of the election, and if the election would come off or not in 2024, I'm of the opinion that they plan to go forward with the election, and I haven't seen any signs that they plan to take the election off the table. However, given the condition of the World War III setup there in Ukraine and the complete disregard of the Russian position on that, the lack of peace negotiations and the endless, as Trump said, $200 billion to Ukraine, for what? So that they could kill a million of their own citizens in a stupid war that they can't win? Apparently right off the bat, within the first 3 weeks, Russia offered them peace terms, and you know, they predicated on the idea that Ukraine could not become a part of NATO, which is what we promised them in the first place, since they are sitting on the doorstep and were originally part of the Soviet Union, and they're sitting on the doorstep of Russia. This is why we see the sick spectacle of these Russian ships circling around Cuba, with the ability to carry the nuclear warheads, and they're going and they're, you know, coasting by Miami. This is the nature of the situation that the Biden administration has flown us into, and the woke media, controlled completely by the deep state, have allowed us to get into this very detrimental situation. In that respect, I feel the Trump administration would do a heck of a lot better. And I think that many of those tensions would disappear almost overnight. Yes.
I'm going to connect some dots here. D. Light says, if the Supreme Court cannot say what a woman is, then of course it applies to all. And Brenda Fisher says they don't want men to draft dodge by claiming they identify as a woman. With that in mind, John Gauss says the federal request for bids are there, quote, housekeeping, unquote, equals prison guards for dissident camps. Why does Mayorkas need new prisons in every state in the U.S.? Paid for through the FEMA budget? And Scarlet Fire says, Homeland Security chief, Americans who don't trust government are the biggest terror threat. His agency employs 250,000 armed employees. In 2008, Homeland Security bought 40 billion rounds of ammunition.
Oh, yeah. They have weird things going on with ammunition. They have for a while. I read a report about the Postal Department, U.S. Postal Agencies, buying all this ammo. I think that there's a weird money laundering thing going on through this. And I think they are also weaponizing these different places in the government that aren't usually weaponized. So I think that that would make a tremendous, tremendous report as to where the siphoning off and the strange militarizing of what were normally just facilities like the Postal Department, you know, doesn't need to be militarized. It's absolutely absurd. Another example, this emergency powers thing, by the way, and of the easy hand the Biden administration uses for this. Biden taps emergency powers to assert oversight of AI system. This administration will grab emergency powers for anything. If they can't get it through Congress, if it's not popular, they'll just call emergency powers. The question is the extent they'll go to stay in power. Now, we know that the Republicans and their convention is going on in mid-July. July 11th is the sentencing of Trump for this phony case. So the level to which the Biden people who are now in a supposed fight now with their own, you know, media and with their own leaders and their own donors, there is a problem here, which is they want Biden to ceremoniously step aside with dignity and all the rest of it, even though they know he's been brain dead the whole time he's been in office. The group that's controlling Biden wants to stay there no matter what. And they're saying, their pitch is, look, you know, he came out today and he yelled, you know, so therefore he's still viable. But he looked incoherent up there today. And, you know, these are pictures from today with his wife, you know, speaking for him and him just standing back there with that weird look on his face like he's about to have a seizure. There's no question it's not going to fly. So there's always a danger when these deep state forces fire at each other also of the ordinary citizens of the United States getting caught in the crossfire. So it's something to keep an eye on. What else you got?
On that note, Lee R. says, Nurse Ratchet is refusing to let old Joe step down. Did you see the way she was dragging him around after the debate? Did you see her vote dress? She looked hideous. And Tina Borge says, Jill should be ashamed of herself. This is elder abuse. Biden needed a cup of warm milk, change his diaper, and put him to bed. Instead, Jill said, you answered every question.
Oh, that was pretty sick. Yeah. The whole spectacle from last night and then the after effects of it. I don't think anyone wants to stand up on that. A lot of the Obama advisors who got him into office, guys like David Fluff and so many of them, went out last night and were just like, this is over. They need a new candidate. I found that interesting. Obama himself made a statement. He didn't repudiate Biden as the candidate, but he said, you know, he said, obviously he had a bad debate. Yeah, speaking the obvious. But nonetheless, for it not to have all that sugar-coated Obama nonsense on it made you think, you know, he's aware. He knows. The people that they've kept in this track, we could speculate here all night, but obviously Hillary Clinton, who just has a new book out. And, you know, they talk about Gretchen Whitmer and they talk about Gavin Newsom. These are people, Newsom has been around him. He was there last night. So I do believe that Newsom is one of the people that they're considering for this switch. It's very tricky. And we're going to be watching it closely to see how they plan to do it. There's no way in the grand scheme of things that they can run Biden at this point after that dismal performance. It's just not possible. Yes, Miss Olivia.
No one you know says waiting to see how they maneuver with putting gruesome Newsom, aka American Psycho, into place. Oof. Joanne Davis says, if Newsom gets in the presidency, our country is finished. And Jay Vandervest says, Newsom reminds me of Damien Thorne.
Newsom is one of the worst. He did a terrible job. He destroyed California. Everyone, you know, people are leaving. I love California. I lived there for many years. And, you know, the people are wonderful. And I feel terrible that they fell into the kind of leadership that they got and the overburdening of the system as an asylum city and all the rest of it. All the different asylum cities that they had there, including San Francisco. But I think that he's, you know, he's made it a terrible place. He's made it resemble China. And I think there's a way to bring California out of that. But, you know, there's an incredible wave of people there that, you know, and a lot of people have left and gone to Arizona and other places.
Texas.
But yes, I wanted to read you this about emergency powers from the Wall Street Journal, just so we keep it in mind. Very often when I hear about emergency powers or COG, people think that they are, oh, I don't know, like someone's fantasy about what the president can do. No, they're enshrined in legislation that gives the legislative office certain powers assigned to the executive branch. And they've been, you know, they've snuck things in there over the years to give a president a kind of absolute control over things. Let me read you a couple. One emergency power allows the president to take over or shut down wire or radio services, a process last used during World War II when that applied to telephones and telegrams that weren't in many American homes. Today, it could arguably be used to exert control over U.S.-based internet traffic. This is crucial. That structure, if they feel threatened that they can't get Biden through, if they have a revolt in their own party, there may be some use of these emergency powers. They could activate entire continuity of government program, or they may use a limited emergency power, like taking over the internet, for example, to quell dissent. You know, these are the things that need to be considered, especially in a situation like this. They could say, oh, Russia sent agents over here. You know, we need to shut down any individual independent reporter as a way to hold on to power in office. I mean, trust me, they've had conversations on this. Okay, next. Other laws allow the president to freeze Americans' assets without any judicial process, to control domestic transportation, and even to suspend the prohibition on government testing of chemical and biological agents on unwitting human subjects. Those are laws on the books. These are things that can be done. So it's not a far-flung thing. When we get into the realm of the UFO threat and what they could do to trigger off COG as a result of that. You know, they've laid things out. They've market tested the UFO threat piece as well. So we have to keep that in mind. It would be irresponsible and stupid not to. That's why a greater recognition of continuity of government powers, the emergency power structure, what they might use in the event of a deep event, a false flag event that they could activate all of these things with in order to keep the Biden structure in power, whether it's Biden or his replacement. Because right now they're headed for a historical defeat at the hands of the Trump forces, and the people are just sick of the inflation, of, you know, the incredible illegal invasion of the United States by these groups, of all the murders from the criminals coming across the border. These are the things that will destroy the Biden regime. But there's a long time between now and November 5th. Yes.
Nicola, well, after last night, it's quite clear to see that COG has been running for the past 4 years. Absolutely no danger that Joe has been making decisions or running the U.S. Jim Roy says, we're 1 second to nuclear war with Russia. Trump warned us last night and again today at his rally. And Rehoboth Farm says, Trump mentioned his uncle again today. Sounded like he knows about bombs they have that are bigger than anything we can imagine.
He did.
Sounds very concerned about the situation.
He did. And the mentions of Uncle John, I think, are calculated because Uncle John Trump, as we know, was called in to examine Tesla's work. We did a huge special on that, and it's an incredible overview called Tesla, Trump, and the Time Capsule. It's a few years old now, but the information is absolutely vital. And what we found there by looking deeply, and we revealed some things that have never been on the record, including the fact that Vannevar Bush, who ran the UFO file, according to physicist Robert Sarbarker, he ran the UFO file, and his protege at MIT was Dr. John Trump. Then he is the one, the controller of the UFO file, who sends Dr. John Trump in to examine Tesla's files looking for the death ray or something that can take down flying objects at a tremendous distance. So I'm in an office in New York City. I press a button, and there's a UFO going over the UK that goes down. This is quite remarkable. I also noticed Trump talking about a dome that will protect the United States, a missile defense, an SDI, a resurrection of SDI. I think that that's crucial and will become a very important conversation about why the Space Force was set up in the first place. And that's a very deep conversation. We'll save that as more details come to the fore. The other thing I want to mention is that period I talked about Trump, when he gets out of office, between losing the election and getting out of office, there's a 2-month period where he's incredibly active. He fires the defense secretary. That's strange. It doesn't usually happen. He sent various people to go through the emergency planning inside of that structure. A lot of that is unexplained. But to me, he was looking at how continuity of government works. I believe that between the continuity of government information and his information on the UFO file, not to mention the fact that on a recent program, when he was questioned about what he couldn't tell Judge Napolitano about the JFK files, he said, I think it is time to release them all, and I would. I think that we all need to learn from what happened there, and it's not just the Kennedy assassination. Here's what's interesting about that. In my opinion, he is showing the crisscross between the secrecy around the UFO file and the secrecy of how JFK was eliminated. I don't think he would have mentioned both without this. So I think there's a gigantic piece associated with advanced technology right in the heart of the secrecy of this, and I think Trump has awareness of it. You know, Trump, when he was in office, he released some very important JFK records, but he was convinced by, you know, these operatives not to release the crucial aspects, but he saw them and he promised Napolitano, he'd tell him about it, but he said, everyone, 12 people are listening to this phone call. And Napolitano said, why don't you just release them? You promised that you would. And as we know, you know, in a very obscure broadcast that we brought to the fore, Napolitano tells this story. And it was very interesting because Trump said, if you saw what was in there, you couldn't release it either. That was in 2020. So think about it. Something inside of those classified documents that would absolutely upend the government structure. So that, I think, is a major, major key. And of course, Trump getting into office would open up those files this time around. So I think that that's absolutely another important piece. And I think it is a chip that he held against the deep state in that process. Yes.
Mal, can COG be used in place of a coup d'etat? Esoteric 369, under this COG, could Trump still be the commander in chief? And Mac Hike 57, even if we know who the COG commander is, we still will not know who is behind it.
Yeah, we know who the COG commander is. General Gillett, and he's from MacDill Air Force Base. There's a huge UFO connection with that base. There was a major Roswell connection with the previous commander, which is that he was from the 509th, Van Herk. He wasn't around during the Roswell crash, but it's the same unit, the 509th, that kind of holds that secrecy over time. And so, you know, when you look at continuity of government, there were some things floated around there at a certain point that, hey, Trump's still president and all the rest. Trump wouldn't be trying to get back into office if he had been running the country through COG, you know. So, but where I think there is a kernel of truth to all that stuff is that period that I mentioned from November 2020 to January 2021, when Biden took over, there's this flurry of activity of Trump around continuity of government. There's no question about it. It's on the record. And one of the things that he activated was something that was sitting there, and I did a whole broadcast on this, which was NSAM 57, which was Kennedy's defanging of the Central Intelligence Agency by handing all paramilitary activity, which he saw that the CIA was using for things like drug running and rigging elections and things like that. He said, I'm turning that all back to the Joint Chiefs. He gave the Joint Chiefs that resolution and said activated, and they were afraid of the CIA. So NSAM 57 sat and sat, but that was the thing that was supposed to take the CIA out. You know, the whole smashing the CIA into 1,000 pieces is contained in that document. And Kennedy had attempted this, and it's interesting because Trump does a ceremony and he has some of his defense officials activate NSAM 57. NSAM 57 is activated and the CIA's ability to do paramilitary work is stopped on January 6th. Very interesting that this whole event happens on January 6th. I'm sure as soon as Biden got into office, they just turned off that whole process and NSAM 57 just sat there as it always did. But there's no question that it happened. It's on the record. We did a couple of shows on it. Two more questions, Miss Olivia. Wait, before we go any further, everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is a special report, COG, Emergency Powers Crisis, 1963 to 2024. And of course, in the heart of the election and after this incredible debacle of a debate with Biden stumbling and mumbling and practically collapsing in the middle of the whole thing. What happens now with the deep state revolt, the Democrat revolt against their own structure, trying to install another candidate now that their other plan of Biden surviving through all this is very interesting. It's so funny in the middle of all this, and I promise to get into the details next week, the Julian Assange aspect of him being freed this week is remarkable in an earthquake, a total geopolitical earthquake around the world, and the incredible unjust prosecution of Assange as a publisher, publishing these details was really punishment for him releasing all of the Hillary emails that he did in 2016, which helped Trump dramatically. Trump was greatly aided by that and should have been more actively helping Assange. He was threatened not to by Republican senators, but he should have anyway. But in any case, there was a deal struck, and part of the deal was he had to admit have a certain amount of guilt in relation to secret documents. I don't like the deal and the chilling effect that it sends, but nonetheless, to have him out is extraordinary, and I'm sure from his family and everything else. We will do a deep dive what happened there, but to see that go down the same week that they're talking about replacing Biden is quite fascinating, because one of the things that WikiLeaks had to do was remove that entire vault of emails dealing with the DNC chicanery from 2016, and that relates directly to Hillary Clinton. I think there's a lot there in the timing of all this. We're going to know more as it goes forward, but for Assange and his family, it's extraordinary to get out of prison for publishing documents. I mean, this is insanity and exposing crimes. So, you know, I think it's very important, and we'll know more soon about exactly what was going on here. But the Assange release, I think, took everyone by surprise timing wise. And then if you cross-reference that with this stunning debate thing, it's been such a week that I think we'll see the ripples of this all the way to the election. Last question, Miss Olivia.
I'm going to throw this out. So with the draft, it seems obvious to me that this is the beginning move for us creating our own version of the IDF.
Oh, yeah. Excellent point. Yeah.
In fact, one of my clients who's a retired Harvard economics professor said that we need something like that, and that in order to get things like Social Security or any kind of social services, you would need to serve in the military for like 4 years after high school or college. Mm-hmm. And he has written up papers about this. But it seems like this could be utilized like the Chinese Red Guard. And what do you think?
Excellent point. Oh, excellent point all around. It's an attempt to shift the whole structure and the whole idea of, one person, one vote and serving in the military and all the rest of it. Listen, we haven't had a draft in America since 1973, and we got rid of it because of all the deaths and, from the Vietnam War, which people opposed and could not get this country to stop. We were in the war phase of this actively, starting with LBJ in 1964, and it didn't end till 1975. It's an incredibly long thing. Of course, our involvement goes back much further. And President Kennedy, who had advisors there, gave me instructions to the South Korean government, to the South Vietnam government. It's very interesting because in that process, the CIA facilitates the assassination of the DM brothers, who were in charge there because they didn't want them there. And that happens only a month before President Kennedy is assassinated. The CIA is on an assassination spree, shaping the world the way that they want it, including an attempt on de Gaulle's life in France. But he survived that coup. So he instantly knew when Kennedy was assassinated, the same people were involved. This is some 60 years of history unraveling here before our eyes, and many of these things are on the record. One of the things I think that they're trying to change is they're trying to set up a different paradigm of that whole thing about women aren't women and the whole, trans movement. I'm not speaking about people who are trans, by the way. I'm talking about the movement behind trying to make this happen. And also the granting of rights like men and female sports and all that stuff. That's all a program, and it's for setting up, ultimately, the rights of robots to have the same rights as we do. So this is what's behind it. Let's get our heads on straight about it. And what they think that they can do is remove all the cultural markers that make us who we are and install this version of transhumanism. This gets very deep, and, we do so much work around this whole harmonic cosmology thing that was brought forward with Steiner and all the rest of it. I actually think that so much of that mystery school information is geared to help us cope with the enormous changes of the 21st century on a psychological basis, political basis, spiritual basis. But there are groups involved in that transhumanism that are literally trying to change what the definition of human is. And that's something that, each of us as citizen needs to figure out how we can stop it. And all the ways to stop it are completely legal. And I think the ballot box and the judiciary and all these other places are perfect places for stopping it. The place that I've chosen to do it is right in the media, because talking directly to you and the ideas that we exchange here in the ideas room, this sets off the ripple. And these are the conversations that I feel that they fear the most. And with that, okay, Ms. Olivia.
This is going to be the last question. David Tormina, DJ, do you think they will attempt to nominate Hillary as Biden's replacement? Now, this is what I was saying last night, because she has a new book out that is super airbrushed, photoshopped, making her look much thinner, much younger, much prettier and everything. The timing of it is just so obvious. And everybody, if they nominate Hillary with Michelle as VP, it's a potent combination for libs.
There's so many options, I think, on the table there. And you're going to see people theorizing whether it's Hillary, whether it's Newsom or whatever. whoever they install there is headed for defeat under ordinary circumstances. So that's part of it too. They need to know that they're heading into a nosedive. So, you know, the only thing I can say is that these people aren't stupid enough to put Kamala in that position, because she's even less popular than a senile Biden, if that's possible. But I do see them doing some kind of, you know, jury rigging there at the convention and having the delegates storm for somebody else. That's what's being laid out and set up by the New York Times, the Atlantic, and others. I don't think there's any way that Biden can make it past the convention. So now here's the thing. He can still be president until January, which is scary enough as it is. But somebody else would take over the role of candidate for the 2024 election to become president in 2025. It's interesting because that's only happened under rare circumstances. Of course, LBJ didn't run, and his VP ran. LBJ was eligible to run, but didn't. And Hubert Humphrey was his VP, and Bobby Kennedy Sr. was running away with that election. And he was going to win. He gets assassinated, and then they run Humphrey against Nixon, and Nixon wins. But LBJ there is the president while his vice president is running. And there's only been a few occasions where this has taken place, but this is how it would work, which is as president, Biden would step out of the race but still remain as president. Then we get into other areas where they're saying, hey, they can relieve him based on this amendment or that one. Look, we're going to have to see how they play it out. But what I think we're looking for in the middle of all this is the activation of the emergency powers piece with it. And with that, Miss Olivia, we are done for tonight. Okay. And so you have Super Chat people.
I do. While I line them up, Najat Madri says that Catherine Austin Fitz says Trump will be president. Deals have already been made. I wonder what she knows, what her source is for that. All right, so let's thank.
Yeah, Wolfgang. I mean, I don't have any myself. I don't have any feeling or assurance that Trump will be president. I just know that from the voter perspective, it's overwhelming the opposition against the current administration, and that Trump's poll numbers are very strong, regardless of the legal warfare. I don't see, you know, there's no, all the deals look like they're against Trump, so that's a tricky thing to think about. All the deals are to put Trump in prison. So, you know, it's hard to see how that figures into the long game here for the deep state. They would never want Trump in office. So if anything, there may be a kind of an overwhelming sense that the voting is going in his direction. And the only thing they can do is somehow make him not qualified. And all their legal challenges have failed on that front. Having him run for prison or imprisoning him as some exercise might be something they're still holding up their sleeve. I still think, even with that, that there's no way that they can stop this. Because whoever I think they do run, even if they pick out a Biden replacement, it's not going to happen. Too many people are upset about the economy, the immigration aspect, and all the rest of it. Nonetheless, and nevertheless, when we look at this, we have to say to ourselves, you know, they've pulled off some incredible things before. Let's see what they have up their sleeve here. But right now, it looks very clear that under ordinary circumstances, Trump would win in a landslide, especially after last night, especially if these guys try to hold on to Biden. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'd like to thank Wolfgang McCarthy, Mark Lane, Stephen Spencer, Jay Parsons, Beetlejuice, Medley Childress, Amarillo Gunrunners, Trident Vibes, Alarmining Bay, Eurythmia is Fun, Terry Doherty, Thomas Ball, Katie Glaucon, Brian Storm, B. White, C. A. Beverforden, Short Order Cook One, and Trident Vibes. Thank you so much for your generous super chats.
Fantastic. We really appreciate your support. And to all our subscribers, thank you for helping us do what we do. And we try to make it very affordable for people to join. And I encourage people to get behind the work that we do on this program. And also, if you're new here, make sure you're signed up at least for the free newsletter that keeps us in touch with all the incredible things we have coming up for you. We will be back next week and watching this situation very closely. A couple of things to close on. Wide scope of presidential emergency powers could be reined in by Congress this year. This article I found very funny. Wall Street Journal article, and they show Trump's face there. Like, I mean, it's Biden who's the one. So this is interesting, you know. Reclusive billionaire who spent $75 million on Trump and $25 million on RFK Jr. Well, who is that? That's Timothy Mellon, who is the uncle of John Warner, a frequent guest on this show, and the son of Catherine Mellon. And it's very interesting because, of course, John Warner's cousin is Christopher Mellon, who we've brought up a series of a DOD official billionaire who's trying to force this false UFO threat version on it. And Warner's helped expose that as well. But interesting that it's all in the family on this, because something's going on there. This guy is very deeply involved with the election. Is there a UFO connection? I think that there is. I actually would suggest that there is. And of course, the New York Times headline, to serve his country, President Biden should leave the race. That's an earthquake. A lot of earthquakes this week, the incredible debate, of course, the freedom of Assange. These things are rolling us into a very unpredictable summer, and we're going to hope that it's a very safe and sane one for everybody. Hopefully, you know, we can look forward to things if Trump does get into office, like ending the incredibly insane war going on in Ukraine and not spending the billions of dollars, but spending that here at home to create, you know, hey, a better United States of America. How about that?
Yeah. Can I throw something in there?
Sure.
I had an experience this week that reminded me to worry less, analyze less, and pray more.
Oh, that's great.
That's absolutely. You know, you don't have to understand every little nuance.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
Just, you know what? Hold what you want in your heart and empower it, infuse it with your life energy. Yeah. You know, that's probably the best thing we can do if we've got excess mental energy going on.
It is one thing and one day at a time, always across the board. And there are lots of help in the background there. I'll do a couple of shout outs here before we leave you off. Caritas Tarot, Donna Marie Farrell. It's great to see a golden girl. Matthew Russell. Let's go, Brandon. Yeah, we're going to miss that when he's gone, right? Pumphrey Gooch. Karen Carpenter. Wise Words Olivia. Be wise. See? Mm-hmm. They get it. Thomas Ball. I don't want my money going to Ukraine or Israel. It's perfectly reasonable. Why should we be spending money on Ukraine and Israel? Jessica Rodriguez. The show is phenomenal. Thank you. Brad Briggs. Ziggurat. Fern Fakes. There was a huge discovery in Egypt, by the way. I was just looking into it when the show started, but they found something like 20 tombs that suddenly showed up out of nowhere. Brian Storm. Al-Qaeda. I'll try to do a report on that. I have some other Egyptian stuff. There might be an Egyptian report special coming up. For you. I have a very interesting X-Series show coming up later in July.
And what
well.
About the monoliths?
It's very strange. Well, the latest one is in Colorado. Thank you very much, Amaretto Eyes. Thank you, DJ. Incredible show. I really appreciate you being out there. And what do we got here? Nightlights, love you guys. Najat's out there. It's great to see you. Trident Vibes. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here. Psychic Somatic. Of course. Great to see you, Plan D. Steven Schonebarger. Coincidence theories are annoying. I agree with you. the Russian hackers just hacked the Federal Reserve. Nanette Crest. Isn't that interesting? I'll have to look at that. I didn't hear about that. Doyle Wayne. Love to hear that, TJ. Indeed. Yes. And Cassius. Love you. We love you, too. And thank you for being with us here. Great, fantastic crowd out there. Karen Carpenter. I know Kate's out there. It's great to see you. Jonathan McIntosh. DNA does not alter. Erica Swanson Elliott. Prayer Warriors Unite. I couldn't agree with you more. And with that, we will leave you all. Of course, It says end broadcast, but you know,
never really ends.
And never let it be forgot. Once there was a Camelot, and President Kennedy, in his wonderful message of freedom for all of humanity, echoes right through to today. And I think he's a remarkable example. And of course, they thought that they were getting rid of an enemy, but you know, he became more powerful than they could possibly imagine. And just an incredible life to reflect on. And we can feel that echo in the 2024 election as well. We will see you all next week. And never let it be forgot. Once there was a Camelot, and we can have it again. And it's not Bobby this time, but you never know. It could be coming. It could be coming along through our efforts here. So have a great night, everyone, and we'll see you soon.
God bless.